Welcome to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by Ambitious Radio. Whether you are a new marketing consultant, national consultant, or someone considering the Ambit opportunity, if you are looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with some of today's most influential Ambit leaders as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can go apply immediately to your business after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, brought to you by Ambitious Radio. And I am so excited. I have another set of great guests tonight. Today, I should say. We've got Tony and Diana Procopio. They're executive consultants, and they have over 1,000 consultants and over 5,000 customers in their downline. They're part of the Comma Club, which means they have over $1,000 coming in every single month in residual income. There's a comma in that check. In addition to that, they are five-star trip award winners, and we'll hear a little bit about that a little bit later, but they're also Crystal Sphere Award winners. And so, guys, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Doug. It's great to be on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be here. Glad to help out any way we can, and we really appreciate you reaching out and doing this. These recordings, these shows have been fantastic. We've listened to several of them already, so really excited to be here.
Well, we really appreciate you guys and all the other guests, and you know, what we're trying to do always is, you know, sit down and kind of deconstruct the things that successful Ambit consultants are doing. And that way we can share it with other folks and learn from your success, so that this business is designed around what's duplicatable. And so it doesn't really matter if you're effective if you're not duplicatable. And so that's what we want to do, is to learn from other successes. And again, really appreciate you guys carving out some time. So, with that being said, as we kind of jump in, I mentioned that you guys were Crystal Sphere Award winners, but tell us a little bit about what that means and what it meant to you guys to win that award.
Yeah, Doug, I'll tell you, that was a completely unexpected award. We were at Ambition last year when that happened, and it just came out of the blue. Our focus has always been to, you know, just to help everybody and do as much as we can to do that. And I think that the Crystal Sphere Award really is designed to recognize people who are, you know, really going out there and helping their own team, but also helping everyone else. It's kind of, they call it kind of the cheerleader award, or the, I don't know, I've heard it called the spider monkey award or something like that. Never considered ourselves to be cheerleaders or spider monkeys, but we always try to reach out to help everyone that we can, regardless of, you know, where they are, downline affiliation or anything like that. So that was an exciting moment for us. One of the highlights of our career, definitely. So
I've never been prouder of Tony. It's just so incredibly deserved by him. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and Doug, you know, to be recognized by, you know, the people who you've respected and looked up to over the years building this business. I think that's the ultimate kind of stamp of approval, if you want to call it. But to be recognized by people who you respect and trust and have followed. So that's
absolutely
very exciting.
You know, one of the very interesting things I have found about this business, and in doing my research, I saw that you actually researched a whole lot of companies like this before deciding to go with Ambit. But with that being said, so many companies, you hear about upline and downline, which those are the people that either sponsored you or that you have sponsored one way or the other. But then there's the cross line. And in so many other businesses, it is, you know, kind of just against the rules or just kind of taboo to do things cross line. And you mentioned kind of being a cheerleader or supporting your team, but also other teams. And that is something I have found to be so unique about Ambit Energy. Not that I've been involved in a whole lot of other direct sales companies, but I have studied some of them and realized that it is really about team. It's one Ambit family. It's one Ambit team. We're all together, and it's crazy cool how that works. And so sometimes, obviously, there are people listening to this podcast that maybe have not joined Ambit just yet. Maybe they're looking at the opportunity opportunity. They ran across this podcast. And I'll just share with you, as a senior consultant, I don't even know if I introduced myself in the beginning, but I'm Doug Parker. I'm a senior consultant out of McKinney, Texas. And, you know, it's a business that everyone helps everyone. And there are team meetings that there are multiple teams that get together. And it's so much part of the DNA of what we do that obviously we've got an award for it, for sharing with other teams and other things. And so you guys have won that, and congrats on your success. And most importantly, it's great that it's been recognized, but most importantly, it's great that you guys actually have been doing it and doing it well. So great job there. Let's talk about you know, why you guys joined the business and kind of what your why is. You've promoted to executive consultant, which means, you know, you start out as a marketing consultant when you first come in, and then it's a regional consultant, then senior consultant, and then it's executive consultant. National consultant is absolutely at the very top. So you're one step away from that. But what was your why when you first started, and maybe how has it changed as you have promoted and continue to become more and more successful in this business?
Yeah, Doug, our why in the beginning was just to be able to pay our electric bill on time. It's really funny to think back 4 years ago that we were deciding which bills to pay each month because we couldn't pay all of them. So that was our why in the beginning. And as time has gone on, our why has expanded dramatically now that we can actually pay our bills on time and some, and go spend money on stuff that's we would have considered frivolous a few years ago. It's just crazy. It's expanded, and I'll let Tony tell you about how it's expanded.
Yeah, Doug, it's, you know, I remember before we got started in the business, we would sit there and think, well, are we going to be able to buy food this week? Or, well, no, we're not going to buy food this week, so we'll just exist on what's in the cabinet. And then which bills are we going to pay this month? Instead of, you know, paying all of the bills, we'd have to kind of decide and figure out which ones we would do. So, you know, that was one thing that we wanted to do. And we always wanted to be able to put some money away for our granddaughter's college fund. We, you know, our daughter's a teacher, and on a teacher's salary, it's pretty tough to be able to put a child through college. So, you know, 12 or 15 years down the road, that would be difficult. So that's one of the things we wanted to do. But then as we started making money in this business, I mean, we set out to make $200 in our first month, working about 3 or 4 hours a week. And in the first month, we ended up, you know, following the system and just following exactly what had been done in the past by other people who'd been successful. And I remember that first month we made like $1,400 and change, I believe, $1,450, something like that. So kind of that initial goal of $200 a month would have been great, but, you know, we surpassed it quickly. So things started to change. And now, you know, over time, it's evolved into really helping other people to do the same thing. We've kind of bought back our time freedom and over time in this business. And, you know, it's now optional for either of us to work for someone else. And we don't have to do that anymore. And I left my previous career, but it's definitely expanded. And now our singular focus, and I think the thing that gets us most excited, is helping other people to do the same thing right now. We've really taken the spotlight off of ourselves. We were very focused on ourselves for the first couple years, I would say. And now that spotlight has become more of a big wide beam, you know, kind of like a lighthouse or whatever, where we're really focusing on and looking for other people that we can help to do the same thing.
Sure. And that's kind of a natural transition, you know, from a leadership perspective. You know, you've got to get in, get it figured out, get your processes down. And we do have a proven system with Ambit Energy. But you've got to get rolling. You got to prove some success. And then helping other people do the same thing is part of our process. Obviously, we help people save money on electricity, and then we show other people how to do the same thing. So that, you know, fits nicely with what you guys have going on. Now, I want to hit back on one thing that you had mentioned just a few minutes ago. So, you know, you kind of talked about there was weeks where you're deciding, hey, do we go to the grocery store this week and get some more groceries, or do we just kind of find a way to, you know, eat whatever we've got in the cabinets or canned foods or, you know, whatever's around. And, you know, I've been in that position before too, and it's much better to have a little than not. I heard Tien Bui say something the other day. I think he mentioned it like this. He said someone was telling him that money's not everything, and you know, money doesn't buy happiness. He said, well, being poor or being broke doesn't buy happiness either, you know. But you know, it's really kind of funny how he says it. But with that being said, You know, when you guys got into this business, it was a different environment then. So, you know, a few years back, you guys have been in the business, is it 4 years or 5 years?
4 years.
4 years. Okay. So 4 years ago, just like when I signed up, it was $429 to become a consultant. Now, Ambit's got a special program going right now through the end of 2016 that's only $75 to enroll. So there's some great things going on. But I'm assuming if you guys were in a position where finances were so tough that, you know, you really had to kind of budget everything and can we buy groceries this week or next? Which bills are we going to pay? $429 was a commitment, and you had to find a way to come up with that. So can you tell me just a little bit about the sacrifices that you guys made? And then I think I might have heard a story about one of the first two, either Ambition or maybe it was Simulcast, but can you shed a little bit of light on those two things for me?
Yeah, our first trip to Ambition, wow. We had made RC, actually, before we went down, but we were still pretty much catching up on bills. And so we couldn't afford to fly down. Airfare was ridiculous that year. It would be like $700, $800 for us to fly. So we decided to drive from Connecticut. So that's what we did, with a cooler full of food so that we didn't have to buy anything. And we had taken all the change out of our change jar, and we had had a tag sale just to get the gas money to go. And we stayed in this smallest hotel that we thought would be awful, but with God's grace, it was an awesome hotel.
Yeah, I remember that. It was, you know, I remember even thinking, you know, the car that we were driving down there, it was kind of uncomfortable for longer trips than more than, say, 2 hours. Like, my knee would start bothering me from pressing the gas pedal for 2 hours. So we had to factor in getting a cruise control installed into the vehicle so that we could actually get down to Dallas. And so we factored in $80 for a cruise control to get in there. And it's still, you know, we still weren't able to fly, like Diana said, but, you know, we were able to get down there and bring food along with us. And you know, we made sure that we stayed at the main hotel. That's kind of where we put our money, I guess, if you want to call it that, when we went down. We stayed at the main hotel at the Hilton Anatole that time and got around the leaders, because we knew that we needed to be around the leaders for as long as we possibly could. But I remember when it was, you know, $429 to get started in the business, you know, we didn't have that. We were two payments behind on our electricity bill. We knew the exact shutoff date at the time when we were contacted about this business. So we had to scrape up some money and really get creative about financing just to join. We needed that money back right away, so that we could go and pay the bills that we borrowed from to join Ambit. That's exactly how it was, and it was a stressful situation.
Connecticut wasn't open yet.
Yeah, Connecticut wasn't even open as a market yet, so we couldn't even be our own first customer to get our money back, and none of our relatives could be, or our friends or neighbors, because they were all in Connecticut. So we had to go to a little more distant relatives that were out in like Pennsylvania and New Jersey and ask them to be our first customers to get that initial investment back. So it was a trying time, but you know, you do what you have to do, and it worked out really well, and we're so, you know, so fortunate that we were contacted about this business at the time and moved forward with it.
And one other thing I had kind of brought up a little bit earlier that I'd seen, you had researched something like 800 companies and felt that this was like just, it was the one, Tony. So let me ask you this. Are you like an analytical personality style? Is that what you would say that you are?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I'm a logical thinker, and I like to look into the specifics and, you know, open up the hood and see what's inside the engine compartment, so to speak.
Sure. So if there's let's say three things that, you know, you analyzed all these 800 companies, and then all of a sudden you see Ambit Energy, what were the maybe two or three things that just absolutely stood out? I saw you watch the DVD six times. Tell me what those maybe top two or three things were that really just made you pull the trigger that day.
Yeah. Well, whenever I analyze any company, and that's what I had been doing for a living for 15 years, we were just in tough times because of the way the economy was. But I was a recruiter, so I would always do the same thing. I would go and research, look for really good companies. And then once I found those really good companies, I would look for really good people to go to those really good companies. And that's how I'd make money as a recruiter. So You know, when I started looking at Ambit Energy, I treated it like any other company I had looked at, and you know, actually had to put a little bit of money from our company in to actually analyze the company, as I did for my friend Bill when he asked us to take a look at that DVD that was inside the magazine. But the things that really got me, you know, I always look at where the company's positioned in their marketplace and going forward, and what their outlook looks like over the course of a 10 to 15 year period of time. That was one of the things that really jumped out because of where Ambit was. It was four states at that time, and I found out quickly that there were a lot of other states that needed to deregulate or had already deregulated and were about to. And then I found out, you know, countries could potentially deregulate. So that was the first thing. The other thing was I looked into the leadership of the company, which is a key factor as well. And when I found out, I had never heard of Chris Chambliss or Jerry Thompson Jr. I had heard of John Burke before, because he was in the IT circles where I had been recruiting, and I knew that he was a very high-level technology person. And so from that standpoint, that got my interest. But when I looked into the things that Jerry and Chris had done in the past, that's another factor. You know, what had they been involved in the past? What had they done? How had they, you know, handled business when business was tough? And those are the things that I found out, you know, when I started looking at it. And then, of course, there were some simple things about, you know, where the company was from a financial standpoint, which was extremely strong for, you know, when I always look, if a company, no matter what size the company is, there are rankings that you can find that deal with, you know, the finances of the company. And Ambit, for the company of its size at that time, and even now, had the highest, you know, rating financially that you could get for a company of that size. And the same thing stood with the Better Business Bureau as well. So there were a lot of factors there. And then the final piece was I started looking at the leaders from other organizations or from other, you know, walks of life that were coming in, and who the investors in the company were initially. And all of those factors just made me, you know, Ambit became the highest rated company that I had ever looked at on my metric when dealing with all those factors. So I realized that I probably had to either start recruiting for Ambit for employees in my regular business, or join as a consultant and make some money. That's where we were.
Man, that is quite a thorough analysis. And I share that with you, you know, the listeners here, because guys, you might want to look at stuff and go research stuff, but what are you really researching? A lot of times you're Googling something and you're like, oh, there's a complaint somewhere or whatever the case is. This was a different type of research. This was really a diving deep and really you know, pulling the covers back, looking at the leadership, looking at those kinds of things. So if you're going to do some research, I encourage you, do that. But research those types of things, the financial stability of the company, the leadership, company financials, who invested in the company. I mean, those are big time things you're looking at, not just, you know, out of the 1.3 million customers, did some of them complain? So those are things that we need to look at, and the A+, you know, Better Business Bureau rating, when you look at that, all those things add up to, you know, is this a good opportunity? And really, it's a rhetorical question, because the bottom line is, you know, as Tony's clear to tell us, this was the best company he had ever researched. So that's really great information. I appreciate you sharing it with us, because some people are analytical and some people aren't. And you've done the research to vet it out. And then 4 years later, obviously, the proof is in the pudding, right? You stuck around, you're still doing it, and you've promoted through the promotion levels all the way up to the next to the top at executive consultant where you are now. So let's talk a little bit about kind of what your presentation looks like. So you bump into somebody at the grocery store or whatever the case is, and maybe it's someone you hadn't seen in a few years or whatever the case is. What do you guys tell? And maybe, you know, Dinah and Tony, maybe each of you could share a little bit about what you might say to someone if they say, hey, what have you been up to? What are you guys doing nowadays? What do you say to them in a 10, 15, you know, second little elevator pitch?
Yeah, I love the 10 to 15 second elevator pitch. I always think, you know, that's kind of a business term that's out there. We don't really have one. I mean, when we're bumping into somebody that we know, you know, the first thing I want to do is just kind of find out and get up to speed on where they are, you know, quickly. And, hey, what's going on with you? And then, you know, my whole focus at that point is to say, hey, you know what? I've got to run something past you. I got to get your opinion on something. And I just keep it at something. You know, I don't get into businesses or, you know, anything like that. I just really, if it's somebody that I know and we bump into them, I say, we need to get a cup of coffee and catch up, and I need to get your opinion on something. You know, that's really, we keep it really simple like that, you know, because we want to get together with them anyway, you know, when it's somebody that we bump into that way. So it's all about, you know, grab a cup of coffee and get together. That's what we're doing, you know, when it's somebody that we bump into and that we know really well. We take the business end out of it and just ask for an opinion, because you're going to get an opinion one way or another. So you might as well just kind of ask for it up front. That's generally what we look to do when we're setting up an appointment with somebody like that.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very
and
good.
Generally what I would do if I run into someone is, if they're complaining about not being able to pay this bill, don't know how they're going to pay for their daughter's dance or whatever they're talking about, I say, oh, my husband and I have found a better way. Maybe I should set up, you know, a time that you can talk to my husband and you can figure out how to do this yourself.
You know, I love what both of you guys said there, really where you're asking them what's going on, or maybe you're listening. You know, in this world we live in nowadays, everybody is so inwardly focused on what they've got going on. But literally, if you'll just pay attention and open up your ears a little bit and listen to what other people are saying, they will tell you exactly what's going on in their life. And a lot of times, you know, we kind of have, metaphorically speaking, we kind of have the medicine, you know, for their sickness or for their pain that they've got. Most of the situations out there, a little bit of extra cash will help soften the blow of whatever's going on. And if they're willing to do a little bit of effort, you know, consistently and persistently, they can really make some extra money. I know you guys said that a couple $100 a month would have really made a huge difference to you guys back 4 years ago. And in the first year, you buckled down and did something like $1,400 in income. And, you know, that's huge. It really is whenever you have that opportunity. Most people on their day-to-day lives, they couldn't go out and make an extra $1,400 at their job if they tried. There's not enough overtime. There's not enough hours to work enough overtime to make an extra $1,400. So it's you got to find something different to make that happen. So that's really good how you guys present that, and you know, just want to get your opinion on it. I like that. You know, because like you said, they're going to give you their opinion either way. So just go ahead and float it out there, and then go from there. Now, when it comes to kind of success and significance and those kinds of things, you know, you rewind back, you know, 4 years ago. It sounds like times were, like I said, pretty tough. And you've made a little bit of money now, and now you guys have gotten where you have a little bit more control over your activities and who you're going to be working with or for or through or what have you. But what would you consider when you hear the word success, what comes to mind first for you guys?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is happiness. And I guess happiness would be wrapped up in freedom to do what you want to do. I guess if you're doing what you love to do, then that's success.
Yeah, definitely. I would concur with that. You know, I've always termed, you know, even in my regular recruiting business over the, you know, 15 years or so before Ambit Energy, you know, I would always tell people, you know, if you're working in a job, and I would tell them a job, if you're working in a job that you love, you know, you'll never really need to go to work ever again for the rest of your life, because you're just going and doing what you love to do, and you get paid for it. So, you know, in this business, I mean, we started out because of, you know, looking to create money for ourselves in this business. And I never really thought of the fact that this, what we do here, is so much greater even than, you know, what I was doing in my regular career. I thought helping people get jobs would be the perfect thing to do for the rest of my life. I mean, if you help people get jobs, you're impacting their family, their lives, you know, you're filling a void, filling a need. And, you know, I thought that would be the greatest thing. But then I realized, you know, all I was really doing was just perpetuating the 45-year cycle. I was putting people, most of them, into jobs that they really were just, they didn't want to do. And it's evident every night or every couple nights or whatever during the week when we do business presentations, and I kind of take a poll in the audience, how many people would love to go back and do what they're doing tomorrow at their job for free if you had all the money that you needed in your life from Ambit Energy right now. And it's amazing how there's very few hands that go up, sometimes none out of 100, 200 people. There could be no hands that go up, which means that there's something that people want to do that doesn't have to do with their job. And in my case, I didn't think that I would love to go out and meet people eye to eye, face to face, sit down with them, show them a business vehicle with Ambit Energy that could potentially change their lives, and then, you know, and then help them move forward. It's exhilarating. It's absolutely exhilarating when you can bring that to someone and really get down, you know, into the you know, desperate why of what they want. You can't do that in a job situation, but you can do that in this business, and you can really find out what people are looking for and get a heartbeat, you know, for what people want in this country and show them a way to get it. And I'll tell you, Doug, that is one of the most exhilarating things that I've ever experienced. And I don't know if I do this until I can't, just because I'm so excited about it. I never feel like I'm working. And I think success is defined, you know, if you're doing what you're passionate about and you are getting rewarded for it, then that's success right there. That's what I think it is.
Those are great answers. And, you know, we had a little bit of feedback on Facebook from some folks that had requested when we interviewed you to ask some questions. So I'm gonna throw these out there real quick and just to kind of get your feedback. So one of the questions was, what is the biggest key to maintaining consistency in your business? So I know you guys started off strong. So you had that $1,400 a month, the first month. But sometimes it can kind of be up and down and all around. But can you tell us a little bit about what you guys have done? And maybe have there been weeks or months where there has been inconsistencies in your business? And if so, how did you kind of pull out of that and get back going again?
Yeah, that's a great question, I think, because consistency is one of the one of the cornerstones of being successful in this business. You know, Diana and I, we work as a team. What I'm not good at, she's great at, and what I'm okay at, she's really good at too. So that's kind of, you know, we complement one another, you know, so to speak. And, you know, she does a lot of things. I mean, Diana is just crazy. You know, when we sit down on a one-on-one or a two-on-one, I mean, she can do a one-on-one as good as anybody. Her sponsoring rate, I think, is like over 100% on one-on-ones. That's how good she is at sitting down with people, and very intuitive when it comes to a one-on-one situation. So, but, you know, maintaining consistency, we work together and we kind of, you know, we encourage one another. We're there to support each other and make sure that, you know, we can do the things that we need to do and have that positive, outlook as much as possible on a daily basis. And consistency all comes down to doing the steps that are required. You know, one of the things that we do is listen to audio, you know, constantly and getting better and making sure that we keep our mental state up on an emotional state up on a daily basis. So we're constantly listening to positive audio. And then it's activity. I mean, the best way to maintain consistency is to fill your calendar up with appointments so that you have to go out. It's almost like tricking yourself into working this business. You know, if you had 5 appointments in your calendar, if a, you know, brand new person starting out right now, if you're thinking about it, if you had 5 or 10 appointments in your calendar, you're going to go on those appointments. But if you don't have those appointments in your calendar, then you might fall back and not be as consistent. And I think that's the way to do it, to think about it, is we make it a point to never go to our last appointment. And when I say that, I mean, whenever we have an appointment book that we go on and we meet with somebody and show them this plan, there's always another one in our calendar so that we're not, you know, desperate about what's going to happen with this particular one we're meeting with now, because we have another one in our calendar. And I think that's one of the best ways to maintain consistency is to master your calendar that way.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to have a very strong why to keep you focused on being consistent. You have to have it in front of you all the time. Mine is a very deep-seated desire for freedom. It's like a burning desire for time freedom in my life to do more of what I love to do.
That is great information. I mean, I took notes just now. Sometimes it can be a quick little answer, and that one I scribbled down like 10 different things, positive audio, And then the teamwork, working together, support one another. Now, one question that I have for you as it relates, so you guys have a kind of a built-in team, obviously husband and wife team, and one of you has some strengths, one of you has some maybe some deficits, but you said that y'all complement one another very well. So that's great, and we do have some superstar teams in this business. There is no doubt about it. What advice would you give to someone that is either single or possibly their spouse either is just not involved in the business, or they're maybe even not supportive or even negative towards that? How would you guys advise those types of folks?
Yeah, that's a great question, you know, because we have a lot of single people in our business and in that situation that you're talking about. I always ask them the same thing. I mean, if it's a negative spouse situation or a non-supportive spouse or just, you know, not interested spouse or anything like that, I always say to the person, listen, is your reason why you want to do this business strong enough that you would go out and do this whether your spouse likes it, dislikes it, encourages you, or tries to discourage you? Is it worth it to do that? Is what you want out of this business, is it worth doing despite of, you know, in spite of what your spouse thinks? And if the answer is yes to that, and I say, well, then you have to go and do it. It's your responsibility to go after it like that. So, and then a single person, you know, that person really needs to get and have a running partner, a running buddy, somebody that, you know, like Diana and I work this as a team, we're around each other a lot. So, you know, we're kind of our own coaches built in. Well, you need to have that. And it's available through this business. It's available in Ambit Energy. There are people sideline, upline, crossline that you can, you know, connect with and build that relationship so that you can, you know, go through the peaks and valleys and have more of a you know, consistent level throughout those times. So that's what I would recommend to somebody that's in a single situation is, you know, go and find somebody that you can talk to, text with, Facebook with, messages with, whatever it is. Have that person that can be your sounding board that you can kind of be accountable to or even just report back to. It doesn't even need to be an accountability situation. Just somebody that you can say, hey, look, this is what happened. And, you know, I really appreciate your thoughts on it and get you through the day. And that's exactly how it works. You know, I've been in network marketing before. I was in it as a single person, and I've been in it as a married person. So I know exactly what I did when I was single to build a business, and it's exactly what I just said. I found somebody that I could, you know, work with and relate to. That's what I would recommend.
Great. And when you talk about audio, you know, one of the things for me, I read a lot, but I don't really love reading, but I love listening to stuff. And so one of the things that we've done at Ambitious Radio is we've teamed up with audible.com where you can get a free audiobook if you haven't already done that. So just go to ambitiousradio.com. There's a banner there. You can click on it. But I noticed that one of your books that you really liked was Rhinoceros Success by Scott Alexander. Can you tell me a couple things about that you like? Is that one of the positive ones, or is that just a get down to work kind of a book?
It's a little of both. It's a great keep yourself on track, keep your mind set proper in the right frame of mind, and it's a lot of fun. I love to read little chapters out of that before I go to sleep a lot of the time. I go back to that book a lot. Tony, by the way, has an extensive collection of rhinos all over the house.
I have an affinity for rhinos, you know, because in that book, it's one of the books that I was introduced to in network marketing, and I love it personally myself because it has a lot of pictures in it. So when I ask people, hey, you know, do you know how to read? I'll ask them, do you know how to read? That's my question, and they'll uh-huh. A lot of them will say, well, I don't really like to read, and I say, well, that's not actually the question I asked you. I asked you if you know how to read. Because if you know how to read, then you need to read at least a few minutes a day, you know, a few pages a day. And so the book has lots of pictures in it. The words are really like big letters, you know, big letters, not long words, but big letters. So you can buzz through the book very quickly. But I think every employee and every business owner in America needs to read Rhinoceros Success, because it teaches you the difference between being a rhino and a cow. And the rhinos have 2-inch thick skin, and they're charging through the jungle. They have no natural enemies, and they are moving forward in a singular direction toward their goal. And the book has this picture of a rhinoceros driving like a Rolls Royce looking out into the pasture at the cows that are just sitting there grazing in the field, and they have no direction at all. And it just gives you such a stark contrast between somebody who's goal-oriented and somebody that just has no direction whatsoever. So, you know, I think everybody should just focus on being a charging rhino and you know, leave the cows behind, so to speak.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Well, and one of the things we'll do, guys, if you're driving down the road listening to this and you don't have a pen and paper to write this down, we always have a show notes page on ambitiousradio.com. Just click on the listen tab or go to Ambitious Radio Ambitious 50 and click on that, and we'll have the show notes there, and we'll put links to the book and all that kind of good stuff on there. That's a book that I have not been exposed to somehow or another, and so that's what I love about these interviews, is that there's always a few books that everybody says, hey, you need to look at this one and this one, and they're pretty common, whether it's Think and Grow Rich or How to Win Friends and Influence People. But there are also just some jewels out there that I haven't heard about. So this one sounds really exciting, especially the part about lots of pictures and big letters, because, like, oh, I said, yeah. I don't love to read. I really don't. I like to listen more, but that is great, great, great stuff. Okay, so there's one other question that I want to get to here real quick that, you know, we talked about consistency, but let's talk about obstacles. Let's talk about one of those times. It's been 4 years. I know it hadn't all been peaches and cream the whole time. At some point, there was a low spot. Can you tell me about maybe kind of the lowest spot in this time when you've been with Ambit Energy, and then how you pushed through it and persevered?
Yeah, that's, you know, there've been a lot of low spots, Doug, you know, so hard to pick one. But I can tell you there's a couple instances that come up in my mind, and Diana and I, we always talk about this too. We always reflect back, you know, yearly, and sometimes, you know, quarterly, we'll reflect back on, you know, where were we 3 months ago? Where were we 6 months ago? Where were we 8 months ago? And we kind of keep, you know, I keep track of journals and things like that. So, you know, constantly looking to see and sharpen the saw and get better. You know, but I think that the toughest time, I think, for any person in Ambit or any network marketing, or really any business, if you want to put it that way. But I think the toughest time is when you invest a lot of your time and effort, and, you know, your emotional capacity to help people. You go and help those people, and then they disappoint you. To me, and Diana and I have talked about it, we're on the same page with this, you know, it's one of the most difficult things. And I remember, you know, getting people, you know, we help them get to, or almost to RC, and then, you know, they just stop for whatever reason. You know, they have some obstacles that have come up with in their lives, and it takes them out of the game. Or maybe we're helping get them to almost to SC, or they just go SC and then they stop. And I just remember, you know, investing a lot of time and effort with people. You know, and people will disappoint you. I mean, we're working with people here. This is not something that you can just, you know, it's not a business where you can just sell a widget and the widget does its job. We're working with people, and, you know, circumstances change. So we need to understand that. And that was one of our lowest times, was putting a lot of effort in with people, and then that person just basically stopping for whatever reason it is. Now, the only way to really get over any type of obstacle in this business, I mean, and you could come up with any, you know, obstacle or excuse or any situation that comes up, and I would probably answer it the same exact way. You need to go and sponsor someone else and bring another person in, you know, bring in new life to your business so that you can move forward. And that's what we do. We work with everyone that we possibly can who wants this business in a really bad way. They really, really want it like we do. We work with all of those people. And some of them fall off along the way, and some of them continue on, and we continue to work with them. And the ones that fall off, we go ahead and move forward and find some other people to take their place, and we put time in with them, the ones that deserve it. So I think that's one of our toughest times in the business, was when that happened. And the answer was always to get back on the train and go sponsor a new person and find some new life to build your business.
That is great information. Now, I've got one more initially when I read this, I thought it was one question, but now I realize it's actually three questions. So this is the last listener question we have for today, or set of them from one person. So they ask, when someone says, is this one of those MLM things, what's your response?
Oh, I love that response. You know, I play around with that. There's Diana and I, we always, Diana and I, you know, we're into, I guess, kind of what we call wordsmithing, you know, and I do this a lot with executive consultant Jay Emma, who's one of the people that we've plugged in with and worked with, and he's helped us immensely. So we're constantly just like throwing, you know, little things back and forth and practicing with each other. And anybody can do that. You can do that with friends. You can do it with, you know, other people in the business. So we're always figuring out, you know, funny ways to say things, or how do you handle this? How do you handle that? So that's what we're talking about. And so when somebody says, you know, is this MLM, is this one of those network marketing things, is this one of those pyramid things, I always just agree with them. Not always, but a lot of times I'll just agree with them. I'll say, yeah, man, it's one of those pyramid things. I'm sitting on top of one of the biggest pyramids out there.
And he's the, you know, Pharaoh.
Yeah, and I'll just, you know, just meet him where it is, you know, and I love doing that. I'll say, yeah, absolutely. What do you know about it? And it just starts the conversation. I don't try to, you know, really, oh no, it's not one of those things or whatever it is. And usually it starts the conversation going by agreeing with them. It's not adversarial. And then what they do is they want to find out more about it. Generally speaking, that's what happens. Or else you just get into a conversation. And then I'll just handle it by saying, you know, yeah, those pyramid things, you know, it's all based on people having a product that's, you know, over, you know, higher priced than where you can get it somewhere else. And you have to educate people on the benefits of it. And that's fine. But you know what? I'm involved in one of these pyramid things, and it has nothing to do with selling a product. We're not selling anything. Okay? That's not what we're doing. And that's really all I do. And, you know, and then just regroup and start, you know, getting back into finding out more about them and just being genuinely curious about why they ask that question. I mean, when you're genuinely curious in a conversation, and that's all I ever am, is genuinely curious. I just want to, you know, if they say, is that a pyramid? Yeah, absolutely. It's a pyramid. I'm on top of one of the biggest ones. Why do you ask? Let them tell you. And then what they'll tell you, well, I was involved in another, you know, in a product-based company, or I knew somebody that was, and, you know, it didn't work out for them. And I'll say, well, you were involved. Why didn't it work out for you? See, I'm just curious all over again. It opens up the conversation to be curious. When they throw out a little fact, now you're curious. So they'll say, well, it didn't work out because, you know, it was too hard to sell the product. You know, so why was it too hard to sell the product? What exactly were you selling? You know, and then they'll tell me, and then I'll say, so it sounds like you were trying to do something, you know, but do you think it was the fact that you failed, or do you think that it was the fact that maybe the product you had wasn't able to move or something like that? And I just, again, just stay curious. One question leads to another, and now you're in a conversation. And if you can direct a conversation by asking questions and being curious, you will always, always end up getting an appointment down the road with that person, whether it happens right on the spot, which generally doesn't, or whether it happens down the road when you reach out to them, you know, on a second contact or something like that. So that's how we handle any kind of, you know, MLM objection that comes up. We usually turn it into an appointment either at that point or down the road.
You know, one thing that I'll add to that Jared Abshire, executive consultant Jared Abshire, shared with me a while back was, it was just like you said, was, you know, just engage with them and say, well, you know, what, tell me about what it is exactly that you're asking. You know, is it an MLM? You know, do you have an experience with that? And then let them tell you, because sometimes when that question is asked, it is not a negative. They may be saying, oh, that's great. I love those kind of things because it really makes it where you can make money, you know, off of other people's efforts. And if you just go into this whole defensive posture of, well, you know, there's some things that are this or that, and you start defending it, they may already be in and like that kind of stuff. So just, yeah, do you have an experience with an MLM, or do you have an experience with direct sales? You know, just like you had mentioned there, Tony. And they may say, yes, I have had one. I just, you know, for whatever reason, stopped doing it, but I'm ready to get back engaged again. Well, fantastic. Let's go. You know, and you can tell them about your opportunity. But with that being said, it's really listening. And this is a reoccurring theme that you guys have said many times today. It's a reoccurring theme in many of the other successful Ambit leaders that we've interviewed. It's God has given you one mouth and two ears for a reason. Listen twice as much as you talk, and it will serve you very, very well. So next two questions that this came through Facebook is, Tony, I guess you've got a board of director strategy. Can you share a little bit with us about that?
Yeah, definitely. That comes from my recruiting background, you know, where I would always send somebody in for a job interview. And sometimes I, you know, it was a tough shot for them to get the job, and I knew that, but I was sending them in to give them a shot anyway. But I would always say the same thing, whether they came back with the job offer, you know, got the job or not, I would always say to them, hey, listen, you didn't get the job, but I can tell you that now that you know about the company and what they're doing and what their background is and the corporate culture, and you've met some leaders there, and seen the way they you know, work and pay people, you know the exact person that I'm looking for. Always tell them, hey, if you connect me with that person right now or down the road, and that person goes out and gets the job, you know, I'll give you a finder's fee. I'll pay you to actually, you know, find me a person that I don't have to go out and find. So in Ambit Energy, it's no different. I always sit down with people every time I make an appointment, you know, make an appointment to sit down with somebody, show them the plan, whether it's face to face or over the internet, you know, through a phone over the internet. I always say the same thing at the beginning. You know, listen, the purpose of what I'm doing here is not to get you to join anything or do anything. The purpose here is to simply show you something and bring you up to speed on what we're doing. And it doesn't matter whether you're interested in it or not, or whether you like it or not, that doesn't matter. But I can tell you that by us coming together for 15 or 20 minutes here, there are good things that are going to happen out of that, because I can guarantee you that you know the exact business partner that I'm looking for. And if you connect me with that person, and that person goes out and builds a big business with me, you're going to get paid for the rest of your life. And so the board of directors strategy is basically, you know, I always think about it in terms of 10. You know, when I'm sitting down with somebody, I'll sit there and actually draw out a board of directors table, and I'll ask them, who's some people that you know that are money motivated people that have a sphere of influence, that, you know, have a burning desire to succeed, they're goal directed, there's a glow about them, whatever it is. I stole all that from national consultant Lane Winsett, you know, and I've incorporated that into what we do. And I'll say, you know, if we had 10 people right there, and I'll actually get some first names, just first names of people while I'm sitting there with them. This could be before the presentation, or it could be right after. It doesn't matter where it can be done. This is an exercise that can be done anywhere. And I'll come up with 10 first names of people that they, you know, have some respect for in their lives for whatever reason. And then what happens is, you know, I'll always say to them, you know, if we showed these 10 people this business presentation right now, we're going to have a ratio that appears out of that. And the ratio works like this. You know, we're going to have three of those people that are going to tell us it's a total scam, and they're not interested, you know, and that's funny. And they say, so we're not going to be able to work with them. They disqualified themselves. There's some kind of, you know, there's some kind of gate over their bank account that will not ever allow money to flow into it from any type of network marketing company. So that's the first thing. Then I'll say, then there's about four other people. They're not interested in the business either. But maybe they'll just be a customer and help you out because they just saw a great business, and why wouldn't they want to save some money? But that's going to leave two or three people out of 10 that when we sit down and show them, they're going to join this business and they're going to go forward with this thing whether we ask them to or not. See, now it's those two or three out of 10 that when we sit down and build that business and you jump in ahead of them as a consultant, you're going to get paid on everything that they do and that I do with them for the rest of your life. And that's how this business works. We're able to, through a board of directors strategy, every person that we sit down with knows the next executive consultant or national consultant in Ambit Energy. And if we can simply get to them, we can build this business and move on. And then there's never a dead end anytime we sit down with someone. Never a dead end. And that's kind of in a nutshell. You know, there's a lot more to it, but that's generally in a nutshell how the board of directors strategy and technique works.
Well, that is great information, and you know, we're about 45 minutes into this. It's hard to believe. I just now looked up at the time, and I thought, holy moly, we this is great information, and it's just flowing. I could talk to you guys for probably 3 hours, but we do want to be respectful of your time. We want to be respectful also of our listeners, because it's we want to give great information. So I probably need to get through these questions and get rolling here. So a couple of things. So let's talk about advice. Advice that you've been given. What is one of the best pieces of advice that you've ever been given?
That is a great question. One of the best pieces of advice that I've ever, you know, when I think about advice, you know, I, it's more along the lines of over time advice that has come my way. And when I think about it, you know, my father has really given me a lot of great advice in life. You know, he's somebody that I watched him, you know, work with people from a people skills perspective. He worked from home, and you know, he was able to be at home a lot, and then out on the road too. But he worked from home in a business, home-based business, working for another company. And you know, it really gave me the example of how important it is to deal with people, and how important that people skills, to have actual skill with people, is in building a business. And he always said that to me. I remember him saying that, you know, out of all the skills that you can have, a doctor, a lawyer, you know, a banker, you know, whatever, a sports person, doesn't matter what it is. He said the best skill that you can have is to be able to learn and deal with people. And he said that the people who get paid the most money in a sales career or in any career are people who understand how to work with people. And I think that was the best advice that I'd ever gotten. It came right from my father, and I was young when I got it, and I didn't understand what it meant. But as I grew, it really became prevalent in you know, in my career and in what I do on a daily basis. So that's the best advice I've gotten.
Yeah, the best advice that I've ever gotten was actually from my grandmother, and she always said this. She always said, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. So that served me very well with dealing with people.
You know, it really does revolve around how you deal with others. And, you know, one of the things about this business is you do have to have a little bit of thick skin. You know, we talked about the rhino having the 2-inch thick skin, right? The reality is you have to know how to deal with people, because, you know, Zig Ziglar used to say people don't change their mind. They make new decisions with new information. But if you don't handle people the right way, you won't be able to give them any new information to help them make a new decision. And so you really got to know how to deal with people. And again, if you don't say something nice to them whenever they say, this is a pyramid, this is a scam, or whatever they tell you, it really limits your ability to go back in and have that as an opportunity in the future. So that's great stuff. Okay, so we're going to kind of go rapid fire for the next maybe 10 minutes. And my questions will be rapid fire. You guys take your time there, but we'll try to wrap it up in the next 10 minutes. Let's talk about kind of just personally. You know, we've talked a lot about business and different things, but what do you guys do to recharge? I know you are hard charging, rhino based, I mean, just get her done kind of folks, but what do you do to recharge whenever you're just kind of running out of juice?
Well, we love to go hiking. We are trying to complete the Appalachian Trail in Connecticut at the moment. And we have one favorite TV show that we record and watch usually somewhere around 11:30 at night if we have time, which is Game of Thrones, our secret sin.
Yeah, we always say, you know, you don't want to be watching TV all the time. Take your TV time and turn it into productive time. But, you know, that's not to say that you don't have fun every once in a while. But yeah, we definitely like to do, you know, get into things that this is a mental business. You know, the mental side of this business is the thing that really, you know, if you can stay in the game mentally, you can build it. So we really like to relax and kind of recharge by doing some physical stuff, whether it's biking or hiking or, you know, whatever that would be. We like to do that and really take that downtime and, you know, and be able to recharge that way and just take ourselves out of the mental side of the business. You know, turn off turn the ringer off on your cell phone, you know, turn the vibration off on your cell phone, turn the on it so that it's not, you know, bothering you, and so that you can actually get away and take a little break. And, you know, thankfully, you know, we've been fortunate to have been blessed with a great team of people that we work with. And we have a bunch of leaders on our team that we've worked with over time, and that's been fantastic. And I'll tell you, the biggest recharge that we've had since we joined Ambit Energy, there have been two of them. And it was the 2 5-star trips that we went on with Ambit Energy. Those two trips were like the most ultimate recharge that you could ever get. And I highly, highly recommend everybody get on one of those 5-star trips, because you build it, you run, you're a charging rhino that's tired. And then what happens is, you know, you get to go on one of these trips and you come back rejuvenated and recharged more than ever. And I highly recommend that.
That is really, great information, because it goes in spurts and in seasons, and you know, people talk about giving 110%, and, you know, obviously that's not really possible, but when you give all you've got and you're not recharging, it can really deplete it to where you can't even give 50, 60, 70%. So that's great. As far as rest goes, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, sleeping, you know, do you guys have a rhythm that you get into where you try to go to sleep every night at the same time and wake up at the same time every morning? Or do you, what does a rest look like for you guys in the evening time?
Well, that's easy for me. We're usually going to bed 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I usually sleep until 8:30, 9 o'clock, but Tony's up earlier.
Yeah, we have Diana has a daycare business. I guess it's an after school and before school program. So she's it was a full time 65-hour per week, you know, profession for her. And over the last year or so, it's gone down to just become an after school and before school program. And we're both passionate about working with kids. So so I do the before school program. So, you know, for me, I'm up, you know, early. I'm an early riser, and you know, I'm taking care of getting the kids, you know, breakfast and things like that, bringing them to the bus, and then it's an exercise program right after that. Jump on some conference calls, start working the business, and you know, get as much done as I possibly can during that time frame. And you know, we're out spending time, you know, with our team. Some people like to hang out late with us. Some people, you know, like to, you know, get finished early or whatever after meetings. But we'll hang around for the meeting after the meeting, like 2 or 3 times a week after a business presentation, which gets us home late. But, you know, I generally get about 6 or 7 hours of sleep, you know, which is important. Whatever sleep pattern you need to get that done, make sure you do it, because you're not going to be that effective if you don't, you know, get some rest the proper way. But that's generally our schedule.
All right. So one more question here, and I think that'll get us pretty much wrapped up. If you guys could go back and give yourself one piece of advice at any point in your life, what would it have been? What point in your life was it? And, you know, kind of what were you doing at that time?
Okay. That's an interesting question. Well, here this is what I would do. I would go back about 9.5 years from now. And exactly what I was doing 9.5 years ago was I was working in my recruiting business and building that business up. And I would tell myself to go and find a gentleman in Texas named Brian McClure and find out what he was about to do and do exactly what he was going to do. That's the best advice that I could give, armed with hindsight, as to what to do at a specific point in my life. Now, that's armed with hindsight. That's what I would do.
That's hard to beat that one. But you're up, Miss Diana. What would you do?
Oh, my gosh. I would go back several years and tell myself to find Tony Procopio a lot sooner.
You know what? We're just joking. I mean, it's specific things, but I think we've talked about this before, Diana and I have. It all comes down to your vision. So at any given time, I would go back in life, anywhere along the way, and I would tell myself, whatever you're thinking right now, it's too small. You need to get a bigger vision. You need to have a bigger vision board. You need to think bigger and dream bigger than you are right now, especially with this business. I mean, anybody who's listening to this audio, this program right now, this show, you have to think bigger, because the bigger vision will create bigger results for you. And there's no sense in having your vision really small, because then if you do half of that, that's fine, but it's going to be a really tiny result. So think big, make your vision big, and move toward in the direction of that vision. That's what I would say at any given point.
Well, I can't think of a better way to close down this show. Think big, because you're thinking anyway. And, You know, guys, I really, really appreciate you coming on the show. We've got, executive consultants, Tony and Diana Procopio. We've been trying to get you guys on the show and get our schedules all coordinated for several weeks now. But thank you so much for investing in me, Doug Parker, giving me some nuggets that I can go in and implement in my business, but also for the other tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Ambit consultants out there going out every day, every week, every month, and making it happen. So thank you guys for your time. I really appreciate you.
Thanks, Doug. It's been a lot of fun.
Doug, I'll tell you what, you are one of the most gracious hosts. We really appreciate it. And I thank, Richard and Mary for connecting us with you. It's been a pleasure to be on. And whatever we can do to help you out, you let us know.
Hey, right back at you guys. I look forward to seeing you at Ambition. And speaking of Ambition, corporate has told us that consultants that attend Ambition make 70% more income than those that don't. And they've got the records to back it up. It's not just one of those made-up statistics. It is real. So, guys, if you are not registered for Ambition, go get registered right now. Remember, you can make money or you can make excuses, but you cannot make both. So go out there and be ambitious.
You've been listening to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by the Ambitious Radio Network and hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with Ambit leaders on topics that can be applied to your business immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.